Hello, podcast listeners. This is Rob again, and I'd like to ask you for a favor. As I often say, our mission here at Amplify Process Safety is to save lives by helping companies improve their process safety programs. However, we can only meet our mission by working with more companies, and that's where you come in. If your company needs a PSM audit, or perhaps needs help with a process hazard analysis, or maybe you don't know how to submit an RMP plan to EPA, let us know. These are all things that we can help with. At Amplify Process Safety, we are experts in all aspects of PSM and RMP regulations, including PHAs, mechanical integrity, management of change, and we also have lots of useful knowledge related to NFPA requirements, combustible dust, etc. So if you or someone at your company could use our help or just wants to talk about some things related to process safety, please don't hesitate to reach out. Whenever you want to, you can reach me on my direct line, 207-229-0862. And as I said, if you know of anyone who can use our services, please let us know. Till next time, be safe out there.
Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join us in our mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome back to the Amplify Your Process Safety podcast. I'm Molly Myers.
And I'm John Doan. We're both members of the Amplify team, and we are excited to be with you today.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about some good information on utilizing your operators to improve your process safety management programs. We like to refer to employees such as operators who run your plant on a day-to-day basis as boots on the ground. Often these people are an underutilized resource in your facility, and we'd like to talk about ways that you can unlock their potential. We'll begin with some opportunities in terms of general process safety culture, and then talk about more specifics with operations, training, and some other PSM elements that can benefit from their expertise. So, John, let's start off with how do you set the stage for the PSM success with these boots on the ground employees?
For me, a big takeaway is kind of just the process culture or employee participation or just even operator or maintenance buy-in. For me, it's important to them for me to get them in and kind of start it because they're there every day. They see things, they hear things, they smell different things. They're just there and they kind of operate the facility, right? So kind of creating a positive culture to encourage operators to speak out, to find root causes, or kind of just say, hey, this is an issue, or hey, I might have messed up and I had an issue here. So you don't really have a blaming culture, but a more continuous improvement. An example for is an operator might mess up and say, oh, I accidentally did this, this, and this. And you kind of look at that as an opportunity. Oh, there's a human error that we might have designed incorrectly and just kind of made our operators or mechanic more vulnerable to these hazards. So just kind of working together and seeing what we can do as a team to kind of prevent things from happening, or if something does happen, you kind of do fix them promptly. The other thing is just kind of make sure you keep them in the loop, your operators, your pump mechanics, your maintenance workers, of what's going on. It could be like policy changes, engineering standard changes, PHA recommendations, or incident investigations that came out. So they understand why we're doing what we're doing or what needs to happen. Because personally, there's nothing more frustrating than someone from corporate or someone from the main office coming in saying, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z because we said so. And your operator's like, we're out here 24/7. You're just going to change how we're going to operate the plant, or you're going to change something. Because that's just pretty frustrating. It's like someone going in your house saying, hey, we're going to rearrange your furniture because we don't like the feng shui of it, right? Nothing more frustrating than that, because I've seen times where it's like engineers come back, it's like, oh, we thought this was going to happen. Turns out it made it worse. So we're going to have to change our standards on that because we didn't expect this corrosion to happen.
Yep.
So just stuff like that. Keep it in the loop because you know, they are operating the plants and they're 24/7. And the other important thing to, you know, having a good employee buy-in or process safety culture is just having a solid, like, frontline supervisor, or to kind of just act as a good middleman, because sometimes you won't be able to check in with all your operators, especially if they're on shift. So having that good frontline supervisor who's communicating what's going on, who's keeping them updated, and kind of just managing what their expectations are as operators, that's really good, because I've seen day and night differences just because of the frontline supervisor kind of just keeping the things in check. Usually they're overworked, in my opinion. They're trying to, you know, act as an operator and then act as a supervisor. And sometimes it's hard to kind of differentiate the two roles. But when you have a solid frontline supervisor who can act as a middleman and kind of facilitate what can work and doesn't work, it makes a whole lot of a difference in that. So,
exactly.
Yeah. From that safety, that buy-in, from that process safety culture, it's important. So the other question I got kind of going from there is, so if an operators are boots on the ground, what are some examples of how they can translate their knowledge of operations into a sustainable practice? So, you know, you learn this, this, and this, or at least one operator's learned X, Y, and Z. How do you get every other operator to learn from their experience?
Yeah, so that leads into the SOPs, the standard operating practices and procedures. Your operators are obviously the core knowledge experts in that area. And so you should utilize their knowledge when you're developing those SOPs. They can help make sure that they flow in a logical manner, that things are done in the correct order, that roles are assigned appropriately. That's especially important when you're talking about responding to upsets and emergencies, making it clear in your SOPs, is it the inside operator that's doing this? Are they asking the outside operator to do that? Are they asking for somebody in another unit to pitch in and make some changes? So the operators are great resources in developing those SOPs, making sure that they're logical. Also making sure that the information can be found quickly. They'll know what parts of the SOPs are going to be utilized the most, whether it be limit tables or emergency actions for certain responses to upsets. And so they can help you make sure that those documents are organized and available in the right places, in the right orders. Also, engineers like you and me, John, often refer to equipment by tag numbers, you know, V100 and column 101 and that sort of thing. But the operators often have more informal vernacular, you know, oh yeah, this is Big Blue or the jumbo line or things of that sort. So let them use those terms in addition to the tag numbers in your SOPs so that it's a little more understandable by people that are out in the operation. You know, a lot of times you'll ask an operator, well, where's V100? And they give you a funny look and it's like, oh, you mean, you know, Big Alice or, you know, Big Blue over there, or, you know, the pre-stripper column or something like that. So let them use the terms that are comfortable for them in the SOPs. Also have them help you come up with pictures and diagrams that can help minimize confusion when you're pairing these written documents to where the valves and devices are actually out in the field. With that being said, I know that the operators are your main knowledge base for writing those SOPs, but don't have them bogged down with all of the formatting and editing and publishing required to get your SOPs finished. You know, they don't need to be spending lots of time figuring out how to get Microsoft bullet points organized and tabulated in the right format. Have somebody else in a support, a training role, or an admin work with them on those types of tasks. Beyond the SOPs, there are other areas in operations where the operators, as boots on the ground that are in the field day in and day out, can be really valuable. One of those is labeling. So you need to have good labeling on your equipment and your pipelines, and the operators know what labels are needed. So go ahead and give them the right tools and resources so that they can mark those things out in the field in a convenient position so that they're easily readable from where they're going to be working. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out in the field and seen equipment markings with just a Sharpie marker on the insulation or something like that, because the operators needed to know what the vessel number is, but nobody had put it on there. So give them the right tools, the right label makers and things like that, so that they can put permanent markings on the equipment and the piping that are going to be very helpful. Also, as you mentioned earlier, encourage them to use all of their senses when they're doing their daily operator rounds and look for things like drips and puddles and things of that sort, or smells. If they detect an odor near a pump, maybe that's a pump seal going bad, or if they detect some vibration from compressors or other rotating equipment, give them the tools to submit those work orders and things so that they can be followed up on, because they are the ones that are out there and they'll be able to detect those problems first before anybody else likely. And then lastly, P&ID updates. I can't tell you as an auditor how easy it is to have a finding that your P&IDs are not accurate. They don't match what's out in the field because they're bleeders and vents and gauges and things that aren't reflected on the P&IDs. So use your operators to get them familiar with redlining when they see changes in the field that don't match what's on the drawings, and get their help in keeping those up to date. So that's a lot of opportunities from an operations standpoint. John, why don't you talk a little bit about how you can use their expertise to keep the training relevant and useful?
Yeah, for sure. It's important to kind of keep engaging training, because there's nothing worse than just showing up to a training or going to a training or trying to do a training where it's just like death by PowerPoints, or it's a CBT or, you know, computer-based training where you're just clicking through the buttons and like, all right, I've done this several times. And it's just kind of more of like a pencil whip in the training. Just like, I'm here just to kind of get through it. So right. I enjoy
hands-on. Right. You hate to do ones where you can pass the test with flying colors without even reading the content to begin with.
For sure. And it's just kind of like, oh, I know it's this much PPM, or I know this is the PPE I need for it. So just try to keep it engaging. So, you know, have walkthroughs or hands-on materials or just visual aids where you can actually see how things are broken down or how things work, or just change up the videos. There's nothing, I don't know how many times I've seen the Texas City CSV video or any other CSV videos, but try to change it up and not have like a 10-minute video, but just kind of show the importance of what you're trying to get. An example is, I'm a big fan of showing, I think, Captain Sully or Sully, that movie, to show human error, that last 20 minutes of that clip where they kind of explain how things work on the human error side in aviation, kind of explains like the importance of a good SOP, or a good importance of like kind of callbacks, or kind of just confirming certain actions, or just kind of seeing importance of like a checklist and why, you know, aviation might be doing X, Y, and Z, and why, you know, it might be good to incorporate it in just day-to-day operations. Or the other one is Deepwater Horizon with Mark Wahlberg. Kind of shows you like things to go bad real quickly. Granted, it is Hollywood and kind of just dramatized a little bit, but it kind of does put you in that emotion of like, oh, this is kind of scary. So kind of just change it up so it's not the same CSV videos, the same videos that we've seen all the time. Change it up and kind of just keep it short and concise so it's engaging and keeps the attention to what you want them to learn. The other thing is just kind of, as those refresher trainings, you know, come in every month or every quarter or every year, just make sure it's staying consistent, up to date, complete, and accurate. It's a good way of cross-referencing other SOPs. So you're kind of like, oh, this is why we're doing X, Y, and Z, or this is why this procedure calls for this because this other procedure requires it, right? So just make sure it's complete, up-to-date, accurate, and consistent, because there's nothing more frustrating to your boots on the ground is conflicting SOPs.
Yeah, it's hard to do the right thing when you've got different documents telling you to do two different things at the same time, or to be in two different places at the same time.
Yeah, so just make sure you call it out or you're training it. And if you do find any issues, just get back to your lead operator, your supervisor, or the engineer, and just get it corrected and make sure it's consistent. And just nothing wrong with asking for feedback, you know, like the operators are, or your operators, boots on the grounds, your maintenance workers, they're the ones that's doing it. So ask for feedback. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, how did that go? Was it boring? Did it make you fall asleep? What can we do to keep it engaging? Because they are the ones taking it. And there's only so much an engineer could do. In a sense, we are engineers and we think at it, look at things totally different than most of the world. So it's good to always ask for feedback on refresher trainings, focus on SOPs that aren't used or often unclear, and see what you can do to change it up and make it work. So going from that, Molly, what are some perks of having some really good experienced boots on the ground?
Yeah, so there are some other PSM elements where we can use their expertise quite a bit. Let's take MOCs, for instance. The operators are probably not going to be among the approvers for your MOC process. That's usually management types, but it really is beneficial to get the operator's input on changes before you submit them as an MOC, because they've got a lot of valuable insights on changes and how to make sure that things are going to be operable once you put them in. You know, if it's something that's going to require manual interaction, especially like a filter, you know, work with them on figuring out what the SOPs are, how you're going to manipulate that. Do they have the right tools? Do they have the right location? How often is this going to be accessed? And maybe they can come up with some ideas to improve the intended change before you get into it too far and it gets to be expensive and everybody's going to say, oh, no, we've already got it designed and it's half installed. We can't do that now. Go ahead and get their input early on those types of changes and get their input before you get too far down the road on your MOC process. Also, since they are your eyes in the field day in and day out, if you can educate them on what kinds of changes are going to require an MOC and a pre-startup safety review or PSSR, they can be your cross-check. They can be aware of anything that's being constructed in the field. If they've got contractors making changes, they can ask them, say, what MOC is this with? Is the paperwork done? Has this been approved? Or if they come back off of a off shift and they're doing their field walks and they're like, wait a minute, this pump isn't the same as what it was last week, then they can ask for what was changed, where's the paperwork, where's the training on this, and they can help make sure that the MOC and PSSR processes are actually being utilized like they're supposed to. Also, operators are required or really needed in the PHA teams, and you really want to pick an experienced operator for these teams. They should have been around long enough to see things going normally as well as going not so well, whether it be incidents or near misses that they've seen, and they can tell the process hazard analysis team what happened, what started it, why things went wrong, maybe what's been changed to try and mitigate that. So that might be a safeguard to record on your PHA worksheets. Find operators with the experience and the interest in participating in these teams to really be an active participant. It doesn't do you any good to have that experienced person in the room if they're not comfortable speaking up and sharing their learnings and their knowledge as part of that team. Similarly, for incident investigation, get their participation in those teams to help you identify the root causes, find out, you know, why was this mistake made? What's the underlying reason for it? As you said, you know, just because an operator made a mistake, don't try to point fingers and place blame. Instead, look at, okay, what can we do to make them more successful? What can we do to prevent them from making that mistake next time around?
For sure. And if you point the blame at one operator, only one operator learns from that mistake, not the entire team, you know? So if you help mitigate that human error, or at least let it know, or try to fix it so someone else doesn't make the same mistake, you won't have that issue come again.
Exactly. So make sure that you utilize their experience on those teams for PHAs and incident investigations, and make sure that those participants are not feeling intimidated. I mean, sometimes they may be in a room with other managers or engineers and so forth, but they bring a valuable point of view, valuable expertise, and they are a full participant in those teams, and you need to make sure that their input is appreciated like it should
be. For sure. The amount of times I've heard something like, oh yeah, that valve doesn't work as quickly as we would like, or that transmitter goes wonky every now and then, or X, Y, and Z. It's just good insight to just operational headaches that they deal with that we just don't know because we're not out there all the time.
Right. And because they deal with those things on a day in, a day out basis, they can also help come up with the solutions and the recommendations for PHA scenarios or incident investigations and finding appropriate recommendations for improvements.
Yeah. And those experienced operators might be like, oh, why don't we just set this up like we have set up in the other unit? And you kind of go, oh, that's a really good idea. Let's just copy that since it's working really well over there and there's no headaches in this current or in that current unit.
Exactly. Exactly. So hopefully these tips will help you find ways to utilize the boots on the ground experience at your own facility and help improve your own PSM programs.
But as we wrap up, if you have any comments about this week's episode, an idea for future episodes, or a question about anything process safety related, we'll love to hear from you. Send us a voice message using our links in our episode description, or shoot us an email at podcast@amplifyconsultants.com. If you want to learn more about the important role that boots on the ground play in PSM compliance, listen to our prior podcast, episode 20.
Yeah, finally, our goal at Amplify Process Safety is to save lives by partnering with companies that handle highly hazardous chemicals and to create world-class process safety systems. Since we believe that these systems will help prevent catastrophic incidents like fires and explosions and toxic releases, we really don't want anyone to get hurt on those incidents, and we think this will help. Don't hesitate to reach out to us if we can help guide you on your own process safety journey at your facility. Thank you for listening, and until next time, be safe out there.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.